93117.
Coming up on the Gym Class here today, College Football Talk, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com will be joining us, and we'll talk Big Ten, Big 12, national college football as we get closer and closer to the kickoff of the 2017 season. Also, Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will stop by and answer your fantasy football and fantasy baseball questions. All that's coming up on the program. And did you ever have one of those days? All that coming up here on the Gym Class, KGYN. And hi, everyone, and welcome Wednesday edition, midweek, Gym Class, coming your way, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM, on a overcast Wednesday afternoon. Even a little bit of light rain going through a little bit earlier on. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer, as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour with the Gym Class. Local programming block getting underway right here on KGYM, followed by the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock coming up tonight. And I got a good show coming your way as well. We welcome you in here today, and we got a little bit of breaking news to tell you about dealing with Iowa women's basketball just over the last 15 minutes or so. It was announced at Iowa City West, Logan Cook. And if that name sounds familiar, it should. Daughter of Daughter of Marv Cook, senior to be for West High girls basketball, has announced that she will play for Lisa Bluter and the Iowa Hawkeyes. Coming up next year, averaged about 16 points and 5 rebounds a game for BJ Mayer and the West High women of Troy last year. Has gotten better each and every year. Obvious to say, but a tremendous athlete. Long, and obviously is going to continue her career just down the road at the University of Iowa for Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes. So good news there.
Good solid player, good bloodlines, and will join her brother Drew.
That's correct.
Who's a member of the Iowa football team, of course. So good on all ends.
Yep, and she made that announcement today, and again, over the last 15 minutes or so. One death in the world of college football to let you know about, and you were looking up the proper pronunciation of his name, Mark, a little bit earlier on, because it's been pronounced about 7 or 8 different ways over the years. Great coach, Hall of Fame coach, and terrific broadcaster as well.
Eric Parsegian died at age of 94. He of Notre Dame fame, but... Folks may remember him as a head coach at Northwestern prior to that. And he really had a terrific 11-year career at Notre Dame, 2 national championships, and had a record of 95-17-4. That's good at anywhere, but especially at Notre Dame. And the last time Iowa played Notre Dame, he was the coach.
A little bit of trivia there. One bit of trivia and another trivia.
Parsegian's first year at Notre Dame was 64, and Notre Dame blanked Iowa 28-0, and they met in a home-and-home in 67 and 68, Iowa losing 56-6 at South Bend and 51-28 at Kinnick Stadium.
That wasn't the fainting Irish that year.
Was anybody at Kinnick Stadium out there? 319-366-1600 for that game.
Yeah, let us know. And a terrific coach, both at Northwestern and at Notre Dame. And liked by, you never heard a bad word about Era, basically. And the other bit of trivia I had for everybody, and that deals with his second career. He went on to become a very good college football analyst for ABC and more notably for CBS. Which leads me to my trivia question of who was in the booth on October 12, 1985 for the Iowa-Michigan number 1 versus number 2 football game.
Musburger and Parsegian.
Correct.
Yeah.
Era was in Iowa City for that particular game, calling it.
Worked with Keith Jackson on ABC, I know.
Mm-hmm. And Brent Musburger Not too bad of guys to work with, yeah, if you're going to get into the world out there of sports broadcasting. 319-366-1600, our Geriask Investment Services text line, as well as our phone lines. And Mark, you ask and you shall receive. Rick on line one says he was at the Notre Dame-Iowa game at Kinnick Stadium, Mark.
Tell us about it, Rick.
I was 14 years old in 1968, and I was with my dad sitting in Section E, where his seats were at that time. We were 13 rows behind the Iowa bench, and that was Ed Podolak.
Oh, yeah.
And Larry Lawrence and Denny Green and all that crew. And Notre Dame had Hanratty and Seymour, the quarterback and end. And I can't, not sure if Rocky Blyer wasn't on that team. I can't remember who the running backs were, but all I remember is Seymour was catching a lot of passes.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of scores. You know, the defenses struggled. It was not a defensive struggle, but the defenses struggled to stop the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Iowa scored 28 points and Notre Dame scored 51. And I remember it very well.
Yeah, and Terry Hanratty, a really underrated quarterback, I believe. Played in the National Football League, mainly as a backup for many years, but he was a really good quarterback for Notre Dame back in that era.
Oh, he was. He really was. And that Seymour was a tall, lanky end, and he had great hands. He wasn't a speed merchant or anything, but he was just so solid as a receiver, and they got the job done.
Have knothole tickets back then, Rick?
When I wasn't with my dad, yes, I sat in the knothole section numerous times up through high school.
Yeah, 51.
It was a lot of fun.
It was, and Notre Dame that year went 7-2-1 in 1968. They did lose to number one Purdue. Yeah, number one Purdue.
That was a week prior to the Iowa game.
That's correct.
Yeah, that was Bob Greasy.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep, I think you're right.
Purdue's quarterback. And if it wasn't him, it was Phipps. I just can't remember where Greasy and Phipps fit in there, but they were right in that range. And I know Greasy had wanted to play for Notre Dame, but did not get an offer, I don't believe. So he got his revenge, if I'm not mistaken, that year.
Pretty good running back named Leroy Keyes, too.
Oh, he was excellent. He was so good because he was a fairly lanky guy. I think he was about 6'2 and about 190 pounds or so, and was probably ran a 9.700-yard dash. He was fast and just a good hard runner.
Yeah.
Could catch the ball out of the backfield, too.
Yeah. Well, Rick, hey, appreciate the call and the trip down memory lane from Kinnick back
Thank
in 1968.
So. I appreciate being able to talk to you guys. Take care now.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Rick was at that game in 1968 at Kinnick Stadium.
Pretty much pinpointed where he was sitting and everything.
There you go. And not in the knothole section that day.
Great recollection of the players and teams back then.
Yeah, Ara Parseghian, coach at Notre Dame during that particular game back in 68, passing away today at the age of 94. At 3:12, we're going to talk to Adam Rittberg, talk some 2017 college football. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit.
Is there any other notable deaths that you want to talk about?
And I don't want to belabor the thing today, but it's under those mistakes will happen every once in a while, but this one was a biggie. We've all been there, Mark.
Yep.
We've all been there. Lord knows this particular program has made enough mistakes over the years that we really don't want anyone nitpicking us or anything like that, but it made the rounds of the social networking world today.
Well, it did. The Daily Iowan, the University of Iowa student newspaper, published a story on a benefactor, a donor who had died, Richard Levitt, at the age of 87. And in the print version of that story on page 4 of the Daily Iowan today, The story was accompanied by a picture
of not Mr.
Of not
Lovett.
Mr. Lovett, but Kirk Ferentz.
I don't want to say that you, every newspaper person has come across that situation in their professional career. Am I right in assuming that?
Well, I spent 25 years in the business, 13 plus as sports editor, and I can tell you that after participating in putting a newspaper to bed, say on a Saturday night, waking up Sunday morning, looking at the section, and seeing a mistake of any kind, let alone a major one, it killed me.
Yeah.
I was sick.
No pun intended.
I mean, how did I make that mistake? How did someone else make that mistake? I mean, you think about the thousands of words and all the agate, the numbers on the fine print section, and I don't think I ever produced or under my watch the Gazette ever produced a perfect or pristine sports section. Despite the fact we had, first there's self-editing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some writers are better than others at that. And we always had someone else on staff read a story before it went to the composing room. And once the page was done in the composing room, we got a paper printout of the whole page. And we'd assign someone on the desk that night to edit it, look at it for mistakes, and sign off on it. And despite all that, there still were mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Every once in a while. But this was a big one.
It was a big one. And I not about airing other people's dirty laundry, but I'm here to say I understand how it happens. Kirk Ferentz celebrated his 62nd birthday yesterday. Or as some people I talked to today, or did he?
He did. Kirk's fine, everybody. Bottom line is, Kirk is okay.
It didn't do anything for the Lovett family. I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
That, they've got one time a printed version of Richard Lovett's obituary and legacy, and there's a picture of Kirk Ferentz accompanying the story.
They're always going to remember it.
And you only get one shot in the print version. I mean, you can change it online. We only get one shot, unless you're real quick with that eight-second delay of of saying things properly and accurately on radio.
True.
But the print version, I mean, it's there forever. People have scrapbooks and whatnot, but...
Kirk, okay.
While some people got a kick out of it, I guess I'm here to say I understand how it happens, and it's unfortunate.
Kirk's okay.
It happened to be Kirk Ferentz, the head football coach at Iowa, and as some people will point out, the highest paid.
That's always getting in there somehow, isn't it? 319-366-1600, but Kirk is doing just fine, as far as we know at this point. 16 past the hour at 3 o'clock. We'll talk some college football, and we're going to talk with Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. Great follow on Twitter. Read his stuff on ESPN.com as well. We'll talk college football with him when we come back.
Play the greens and save some green now at St. Andrews Golf Club. Monday through Friday before 1 and after 5, ride 18 holes for $23. Bring your juniors with you because kids 12 and under play free anytime Monday through Friday. And on weekday evenings, take in a relaxing 18 holes with a cart for just $23 too. Only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. All items subject to sales tax, special prices for walk-ins only, not scheduled outings.
You know that old saying, time is money? Well, that couldn't be truer when it comes to real estate these days. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and how that affects how much you sell your home for. If you tried to sell it a while back and couldn't get your price, let Doug McAllister and Pinnacle give it another try. The time has never been better than right now to get your price. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting.
Thursday night, the 2017 NFL season officially begins when Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys meet the Arizona Cardinals in the annual Pro Football Hall of Fame game. Hi, this is Scott Graham of Westwood One Sports. Join James Lofton and me from Canton, Ohio, as the Cowboys and Cardinals kick off Hall of Fame weekend. If it's the NFL, it's right here
The NFL Hall of Fame game, the Cowboys and the Cardinals, Thursday night at 7 on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
319, Wednesday edition of the Gym Class, coming your way right here on KGYM. Twins playing an afternoon game in San Diego right now, and you can't stop Irvin Santana's bat. He's got a hit today and a couple RBIs, I believe, and the Twins have scored against the Padres.
Yeah, Santana on the hill doing quite well, and the Twins up 4-0 early on in that game. And once again, I stayed up way too late last night to lose see and hear another loss, 3-0 to the Padres, despite a pretty good pitch game from Jose Barrios. Other afternoon games today, Detroit leading New York, Yankees that is, in the sixth inning, 2-0. Toronto on top of your Chicago White Sox.
Get in line, man.
2-1, bottom of the seventh inning now. So everything else under the lights.
They've scored. That's good. We're going to talk some college football right now. Adam Rittenberg joining us, National College Football Insider for ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. Also read his stuff at ESPN's website. And good afternoon, Adam. How you doing?
I'm good, Scott. Mark, how you guys doing?
Doing great. You're probably tired a little bit of listening about how good everybody's going to be and ready for some actual football to be played now, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as you guys know, no one's lost the game at this point in the season. Everybody's excited. Everybody's relatively healthy. And so, you know, the story of the season has yet to be written. I think we're all excited for that to start developing and starting to see who's better than we thought, who's worse than we thought, you know, which stars are going to back up the hype, which players that we're not talking about or which teams we're not talking about right now are going to elevate themselves either regionally or nationally. That's always the fun part of the season. No one saw Lamar Jackson at this time last year, and that, you know, he's won a Heisman and is back this year. So that's always the surprises that make college football so much fun.
Well, as you went around, Adam, to the different media days, including the Big Ten, anything in particular that, you know, typically these things are not newsworthy per se, but was anything out there that struck your fancy?
You know, for me, honestly, it's to see the players, how they look. That was interesting to me. Like, for example, I was down at ACC Media Day in Charlotte to see Lamar Jackson up close. And he's actually put on a little bit of weight. He's a little bit bigger now. Still very dynamic with the ball. And to see him next to a guy like DeAndre Francois from Florida State, who is not a very big guy. You know, next to Lamar Jackson, he looks small. And I gained even more respect for him because if you watched the Florida State games last year, DeAndre took a pounding. I mean, he took more hits than almost any quarterback in the country, and he's not a large man. So that was, you know, those are the types of things that I kind of take away, how guys look. I mean, everybody's confident. You know, you can try to extrapolate this comment or that comment from what some of the coaches were saying. Jim Harbaugh was obviously a big spectacle at Big Ten Media Days and pretty much anywhere else he goes. Out at the Pac-12, I got a chance to meet Sam Darnold, who was a very impressive person, not just a player, but he was really impressed with how he and the whole USC program are approaching, you know, this season of very high expectations, not just individually on Sam, but on the whole program, that they're expected to win the Pac-12 and contend nationally again. And I just like the vibe around that team as they try to reclaim some of the glory they've lost here in the last few years.
Adam, speaking of Big Ten Media Days, I am fascinated by PJ Fleck. You got Jim Harbaugh and everything associated with him. But I tell you what, PJ Fleck, he's kind of the Piper.
You were fascinated by East Carolina at one time, too, so come on.
And Western Michigan when he was there. But I think PJ Fleck's great for the Big Ten. I think it's going to make everybody in the Big Ten West a little bit better. I guess your thoughts about Coach Fleck.
Yeah, no, he definitely is somebody who grabs your attention. And he's got so much energy, Scott. And, you know, one thing, I've known PJ actually since he was a player at Northern Illinois. I covered him his senior season there. And, you know, the one thing you wonder about him if you don't know him is his persona for real? Is what you see the real person. And I from being around him this week, I gained even more of a sense that this is him. I mean, take it or leave it, like it or not like it. This is not an act. It would be too difficult for this to be an act, is how I look at it, with how much energy he approaches pretty much everything he does. Now, is it going to work? Who knows? I think coaches that I talk to, some think it will, some think it'll be a complete failure, but I think it's going to be interesting regardless. And what you said, the Big Ten needs him. I think the Big Ten needs a little bit of different energy, especially in a recruiting standpoint, and I think he's going to challenge some of the teams in that region with the way he's going to recruit and just the overall approach. It is different, and it'll be very interesting to see if it works or not at Minnesota, which has been looking to get that spark to try to get back into some sort of championship position after so many decades of kind of mediocrity and irrelevance.
There are no great expectations in the Iowa camp unless, that you're talking about what they're saying in preseason, but an unproven quarterback, iffy wide receivers, and places to patch here and there. What are your thoughts on Iowa?
Right, this could be one of those Iowa teams, Mark, that comes out of nowhere and surprises everybody. But they, as you guys know, have a long way to go from a passing standpoint. They were not a good passing offense last year, and they lost C.J. Beathard, who's a pretty good quarterback. So that's certainly an area that needs to be upgraded. Brian Ferentz knows that. Kirk Ferentz knows that. And so how that evolves during the course of camp will be telling. I mean, the good news for Iowa is that they're always a team that's built to the line of scrimmage. It seems like they should be pretty good on both the offensive and defensive line. They should be very, very good at linebacker. They have some question marks in the secondary. But, you can never count out Iowa because it seems like those are the types of teams that seem to overachieve. And the division, aside from Wisconsin, is very wide open. Who's going to challenge Wisconsin in the West? Could it be Iowa? Could it be Nebraska? Could it be Northwestern? Those are probably the next three teams. But if Iowa can sort out its quarterback situation here quickly and then get a little bit more balance in its offense, we know they can run the ball. We know they can play well along both lines.
Looking into my crystal ball, without giving too much away, as it's only August the 2nd, I like a Penn State Wisconsin Big Ten championship game. I don't know how Penn State's going to win at Columbus, but I think Penn State is ripe, and I think if James Franklin's going to win one, all the stars are aligned that this one might come this year.
Right. The interesting thing to me in the Big Ten discussion, both locally and nationally, is this assumption that Ohio State's going to win, and they may have the best roster, but Penn State won the league last year, and they were at least a year away. So Penn State is improving as far as their depth as well. I mean, they will be a better team that Ohio State faces in Columbus this year than the one that they faced last year and lost to in State College. And Penn State obviously turned into one of the hottest teams in the country last year, but they're nowhere near where they're going to be, especially in areas like the offensive line. We're talking to James Franklin in Chicago. I know he feels that that's a group. That's the group that's taken the most hits, really, since the sanction and the scholarship losses. And that offensive line has a chance to really take a step forward. And they're already taking a step forward on defense. So I kind of like that pick, Scott. And not a lot of people are making it. But I think Penn State, this was going to be the year. It wasn't going to be last year. It sort of came ahead of schedule. And with Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley and really good receivers and Mike Kosicki at tight end and some of those defensive players I mentioned, they have every opportunity to repeat as Big Ten champions.
Of course, one of the headlines today, Adam, is the passing of Eric Parsegian and a lot of excellent pieces on ESPN.com and elsewhere. And I guess your thoughts on Eric?
One of the legendary coaches of the last 50 or 60 years in college football. Mm-hmm. He retired at a relatively young age, and he retired more than 40 years ago, so I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between a lot of modern fans and an appreciation for how good he was. But if you look at where Notre Dame was when he came there from Northwestern, it was not a great program. It was kind of like where they were under, you know, latter part of Willingham and the latter part of Charlie Weiss. And Ara Parsee just got them right back into the national conversation, winning a couple of national championships. And I think he never lost more than two games a year. And I think if he coaches almost anywhere else, he is, you know, kind of elevated to this incredible status. But when you coach at Notre Dame, there's Newt Rockne, there's Frank Leahy, you know, there's other great coaches and players, so it's easy to get overshadowed. But as far as guys who made an impact in the Midwest, you know, you think about Bo Schembechler, certainly, and Woody Hayes. But Ara Parsegian is an Ohio native who, at Miami of Ohio, succeeded Woody Hayes as the head coach there, had great success at Miami, and then took Northwestern to a number one ranking before leaving for Notre Dame and winning two national titles. A pretty impressive resume as far as coaching in the Midwest in college football.
Mm-hmm. Adam Rittenberg joining us here. Follow him on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg as we talk some college football here on this Wednesday edition of the program. Let's shift gears to the Big 12 a little bit. Year two for Matt Campbell in Ames from the Iowa State Cyclones. And what expectations are big for Iowa State. Some people are talking maybe six wins, get into a bowl situation for them. What would be the realistic next step for Matt Campbell and the Iowa State program?
Yeah, I think any fan base should expect at least a bowl game, and I think that would be a realistic next step for Iowa State in year two. It's often when you see teams make a little bit of a jump, when there's a comfort level with the coach and the system and the expectations. And you saw Iowa State play well at times last year, and now the next step is to become a more consistent team. But I think Matt is happy with kind of where they are from a cultural standpoint in their program and what the players know he and his coaches are about. And now they have to deliver on the field. I think the start to the season will be really important for them. But, you know, you look at a lot of their Big 12 games last year, they were competitive. You know, they were right there in a lot of them, just didn't find a way to win. So I would expect improvement. I really like Matt, and I know they've taken a very, very aggressive approach in recruiting, and we'll see if that works or not. But I would expect some improvement out of the Cyclones this year.
Who do you like on the national landscape? Some of the same old teams that have been there?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Mark. I mean, you look around the country, who are the favorites in the conference? It's all the Blue Bloods. It's Florida mm-hmm. State or Clemson in the ACC. It's Alabama in the SEC. It's USC is the favorite in the Pac-12, Ohio State in the Big Ten, in Oklahoma, in the Big 12. But I think there's always an element of surprise, and I hope there is. I think the playoff could really use that. You know, I'm looking back now, guys, at 2007. It feels like a long time ago. It was only 10 years ago. And I don't know if you remember how crazy that national title race was and some of the teams that were involved. I mean, if you look up at the BCS standings in 07, there were teams like Boston College and South Florida and Arizona State, Missouri and Kansas and West Virginia, you know, not the typical Blue Bloods. I think it would be fun if there were, you know, one of those teams that we're just not expecting to get in the race a little bit this year. Maybe it's an Oklahoma State out of the Big 12. Maybe it's a Wisconsin out of the Big 10. I think NC State is a very interesting team out of the ACC. A lot of talent there. Louisville brings back Lamar Jackson. There's a lot of different possibilities in the SEC. But going into the year, it's a lot of familiar names, Penn State among them. But I think there could be a little bit of surprise. Stanford is a really good team. They have a chance to really disrupt things and put themselves in the conversation nationally in the Pac-12.
Who is on the hot seat, the biggest, the hottest seat out there in college football, especially in the Power 5?
Yeah, I mean, and you can include Notre Dame in that. I think you probably have to start there. You're coming off of a 4-8 season. Brian Kelly's got to win. It's just that simple. And you know, I think he's done a nice job elevating that program, but 4-8 is just unacceptable in South Bend with the talent that they've had. And, you know, they have an interesting schedule, Scott, in that there's not a lot of games on their schedule that I would say they'll definitely lose, but there's a lot of games that they could lose. And, you know, they lost a lot of close games last year, I think six or seven games by 8 points or less. So they have to find a way to win those close games. They got to find a way to play better defense. Aside from Notre Dame, I'd say the two hot spots are the SEC West. Really, the SEC as a whole, if you include Tennessee in that. Butch Jones is a coach who needs to win. Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M is a coach who's sort of been put on notice by his athletic director. They need to start winning more meaningful games in the SEC. And then in the Pac-12, I think both Arizona schools, Todd Graham is certainly on the hot seat at Arizona State, perhaps Rich Rodriguez at Arizona with the new athletic director, and Jim Mora at UCLA, but coming off of a 4-8 season that kind of went under the radar, he probably can't afford another one of those to keep his job. So I would say those two divisions, along with Notre Dame, are the ones that I'll be watching this year.
There's a lot of great openers in college football, Adam. I think one of the underrated ones is going to be played in Iowa City, and that's Wyoming and Iowa. I wanted to know what you your impression of Josh Allen, the Wyoming quarterback, who some regard as perhaps the number one overall pick in 2018.
You know, he's right there with Sam Darnold, who I was talking about earlier, and Josh Rosen, the UCLA quarterback. Josh Allen is right up there as a potential number one pick. And, you know, talking to some of the coaches from Wyoming, I know that they've just been really encouraged with his development. And, he's certainly kind of come out of nowhere, from a very small town in California. You had to almost send out tapes of himself to recruiters to kind of get their attention, and not very many people were paying attention to him as a high school player, and now everyone's paying attention to him. So interested to see how he'll perform. I think it's a good stage for him. Big Ten venue, Iowa fans will be going nuts. So we'll really get a sense of whether he's a guy who can handle that type of pressure, and that's what NFL folks are going to be watching. So it'll be a good challenge for Iowa, certainly, to go against a quarterback of that caliber. He'll be one of the better quarterbacks that Iowa will face all year, maybe the best quarterback. So I think we will learn a lot in that ball game.
You got a countdown clock somewhere in the office around you until the first kickoff?
No, I know we're about 3.5 weeks away, at least from the first set of games. But, it's just too long of an offseason. So nice that we're getting closer here. A lot of position battles and camp stuff going on now, but we're getting close to the season, which is great.
Yep, it is great. And we look forward to breaking it down some more with you, Adam. But appreciate you coming on today, and we will talk to you very soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Adam Rittenberg, and you can follow him on Twitter. And love to give him a tweet out there at ESPN Rittenberg. And then also read his stuff at ESPN.com. 3:36, we're going to talk to Chris Liss of RotoWire.com coming up here in just a little bit. Just to let you know, Iowa basketball is meeting the media as we speak right now. Down in Iowa City, of course, Iowa is going to be going overseas and taking part, Italy, I believe? I'd have to double check on that. But anyway, they're going to be headed overseas, and some interesting stuff coming out of there. Of course, a lot of the media down there talking with Fran McCaffrey, etc. They're also having a little bit of a practice going on right now for the media. First two plays, a Nunji dunk and a Garza three. You think that wasn't planned by Fran McCaffrey? So there you go. They got that. Also some very widely publicized visitors down there. Joe Wieskamp is there from Muscatine, and Patrick McCaffrey from the class of 2019 down there as well. And then also Xavier Foster from the class of 2020. He just completed his freshman season at Oskaloosa, 7-footer. And he's the next big thing, figurative and literally, coming out of the state of Iowa. Only going into his sophomore campaign this year, though.
7 foot already.
7 foot, and everybody is offering him already from around the Midwest, all the Power Fives for the most part. And by the time all is said and done, 7-footers and 7'1 guys don't grow on trees.
That's true.
And he's going to have a lot of people knocking on his door coming up down in Oski.
A lot of media in Cedar Falls today, as well as Mark Farley conducts his news conference. And that's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Will the UNI football team make the FCS playoffs this season? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, behind the Taco John's and next to Home Depot. Tough league.
Best league there is.
Yeah.
In FCS football, 1AA football, whatever you want to call it. But I like Dunn at quarterback. Got to see him a couple times when he came in last year at the end of the season, and I think he's dynamite. How will that offensive line perform up in Cedar Falls? That's going to be the big question there. They've got Mark Farley wants to get them bigger and stronger. Yeah, who doesn't want to get your offensive line bigger and stronger? But they had a problem protecting the quarterback last year. That's got to get better. They've got some real horses on the defensive side of the ball. They lost Carter Schultz, of course, the Buck Buchanan Award winner, but they have Jared Farley coming back. Couple pretty good running backs. I think this is Jalen Rima year coming out. It's going to be Rima Tima up in Cedar Falls, but the former Prairie product, I think, is going to be take that next step. At the end of last year, he really came on, not only in the special teams department, but he was catching a lot of passes from Dunn.
And scoring a lot of different ways, that's for sure.
And I just think the sky is the limit for Jalen Rima up there. Yes, I do like him because he's a local product here, and we rooted for him.
Mm-hmm.
Rooted for him up at UNI, but I think he's going to do really, really well.
I do too.
Up there. All right, 3:39, we'll take a break, come back. Your fantasy sports questions, fantasy baseball, fantasy football questions for Chrisless of rotowire.com. And get them ready to go. We'll come back with Chris after this on KGYM.
Hey, it's Jim. I can't take your call right now. I'm digging for oil in my basement to help pay for my family's mobile bill. A little crazy, you say? You try getting a data plan that has enough gigs for my family. And I thought braces were expensive. We definitely need a switch.
Stuck in a dysfunctional family plan? Switch to Boost Best Family Plan right now and get four lines for just $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. With Metro PCS, you only get 2 gigs per line for the same price. Plus, switch today and get up to 4 free phones, all on the fast and reliable Sprint Nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Offer ends 9/10/17. Requires one line to port in. Lines include unlimited data, talk, and text. Video streams optimized at up to 480p plus resolution. Music up to 500 kilobits per second and cloud gaming up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization applies during congestion. Comparison based on Metro PCS's 2GB promo plan as of 4/25/17. For additional details, visit their website. Free phones while supplies last. Requires port in and activation on $100 plan. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
Guys, get to JCPenney's biggest sale of the season. Find great brands like Levi's 502 regular fit jeans for $39.99. Or get 25% off select styles of Nike tees, shorts, shoes, and backpacks. Also, check out our great selection of men's big and tall sizes. And download the JCPenney app for even more savings. Hurry, the biggest sale of the season ends Saturday. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. See store at jcp.com for details. Season refers to 6/19 to 8/5.
Dude, you look different.
Well, my body is glowing gold.
No, it's not that. Did you get a new shirt?
No, I joined the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and got instant gold status.
No, did you lose weight?
No, it's the gold status. I save 5 cents a gallon on every fill every day.
Got it. It's a tan.
Get rewarded with instant gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. It's free to join. So join now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
We welcome you back. Wednesday edition of the gym class coming your way here on KGYM, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. That is the South Gym as we come your way on this Wednesday. Tomorrow, Cal Eldred will join us. Yep, we usually have Cal on Tuesdays, but he had meetings on Tuesday, so he will join us coming up tomorrow. Also, John Krant from Jim Fye Sports coming your way tomorrow. And Rob Gray from CycloneFanatic.com to talk with us on Friday about Iowa State football. And that will be one day after their media day, which comes up tomorrow in Ames. Today, you and I, Iowa State will come up on Thursday. Iowa, media day on Saturday. Tis the season, Mark, as they say.
As the calendar turned to August, that's what you're going to have, and it's getting ever so close to football season. And we'll keep you up to date as to what we have in terms of coverage throughout the season. And we'll be talking Iowa, Iowa State, UNI throughout the year, as usual.
And believe it or not, we're 3 weeks away Friday from our first high school football games of the year. The openers coming up. So, man alive, coming up around the corner, certainly. We're going to talk some fantasy sports right now at 3:43 here on the Wednesday edition of the program. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com joining us here. If you have a question for Chris, I know there are a lot of people. The mock draft season is underway, as we mentioned yesterday. You're thinking football, baseball going hot and heavy, of course. 319-366-1600. You can give us a call. Better yet, you can reach us on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600 as well. Chris, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Scott?
Not bad, not bad. And I haven't talked to you in a while, so where are you at right now? Are you still overseas or are you back?
No, I'm in L.A. for now. Next time you talk to me, I'll be in L.A., then New York, then back in Portugal.
Ah, so you're like the world traveler right now. So good for you out there anyway.
It's all my wife's fault. I wouldn't have gotten up off the couch if it weren't for her. So I'm blaming her.
You know what? I think a lot of guys are out there raising their hand right now about that. But at any rate, it's good to talk with you here today.
Chris, I had somebody ask me about Joe Mixon the other day. In fact, somebody that lives in Cincinnati, and he had attended one of the first workouts for the Bengals and was very impressed with the guy. And I know you may not know as much about him as some of the veterans, but I noticed in some of your leagues he went, what, third, fourth, fifth round. Your thoughts on Mixon?
Yeah, he's been going early, but Gio Bernard is unexpectedly healthy, notwithstanding Vontaze Burfict tackling him on the knee. His surgically repaired knee seems to be okay after that. And that's a big problem. I mean, people are just acting like Mixon's going to definitely get the job, but Jeremy Hill's there. Jeremy Hill's not some 31-year-old, you know, journeyman bum. I mean, Jeremy Hill's in his fourth year in the league and was once very good, and he was a second-round pick, and Gio's very good. So I'm just not sure what kind of workload Mixon's going to get. He could be the starter. He could be a three-down back. But I imagine Gio will be there on third downs, and then, you know, he'll get some goal line work. So, you know, what's the upside for Mixon? I think I'd straight up take Dalvin Cook over him because Latavius Murray's still hurt. And so, in a way, Cook may have a better opportunity than Mixon.
I was just going to ask you, it seems to be the rookie that everyone's clamoring about, and there's usually one every year. This year at the running back position is Dalvin Cook for the Minnesota Vikings. And just reading up on mock drafts, et cetera, people love him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to succeed. He might succeed. But remember, Peterson, before he got hurt, couldn't go anywhere behind that line. Jerick McKinnon had a lot of buzz last year, couldn't do anything behind that bad offensive line. There's no real deep threat on that team, so safeties can kind of creep up in the box. Maybe he's good enough to overcome that. Maybe the line's a little bit better. But, you know, we don't know how he's actually going to do. We just know that he's going to get the opportunity.
319-366-1600 is our Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Already a couple rolling in here, Chris, for you. 7866, I won my league last year with your advice, Chris, of taking David Johnson first overall. Now I pick 12th. Who should I be looking at with back-to-back picks?
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Somebody listened to me and did well. you know, it just really depends who's there, right? I mean, different leagues are different and different settings warrant different things. If A.J. Green were to fall to 12, I would love that. If he doesn't fall to 12 in my leagues, you may end up looking at running backs. You may end up looking at Devonta Freeman, Jay Ajayi, who's concussed right now. It's not an ideal spot to pick because I don't love the Jordy Nelsons and Michael Thomases there. I wouldn't really pay for them with a first-round pick. And then if you go to the running backs, you know, they have upside, but they're also a little bit more risky.
You're loving Brandon Cooks, aren't you?
I really do. I mean, I understand the argument for his floor. He could just be DeSean Jackson. He could be a 100-target deep threat to get 7 touchdowns and 1,000 yards and, you know, add the new dimension to the offense. To me, that's his floor. But his ceiling is that the Patriots realize, wait, Julian Edelman doesn't need 150 targets. Cooks can run every route that he does and better and faster and with more yards after the catch. So he's going to be our 150-target guy, and Edelman will get 80 targets. People say, well, they'll never do that. Edelman's been around. They've won a couple Super Bowls with him. You think the Patriots care about that? Patriots don't care. You think Edelman won't be returning punts if that's what they want him to do? That's what he'll do. I mean, so I think there's a chance that Cooks is just so good. He's still 23 years old, 4.33 speed, incredible quickness. They gave up a first-rounder plus for him. That they realize that, hey, we have Antonio Brown here. You know, we have a receiver of that level, and we're going to use him.
So you're saying he's a top 5, top 10 wide receiver?
I mean, I have him around 11 because that floor, I told you, okay, that Deshaun Jackson-like floor is still there. I mean, it's, you know, there are a lot of, you know, Gronk is there, Edelman's there. You know, you still have all those running backs that get passes. But I think there's top five upside. I think there's, you know, number 20 overall downside. And, you know, split the difference and rank them 11. But, you know, sometimes you're trying to make a pick that's going to win you the league. And I think that if he does pop, if the Patriots do view him as a guy, hey, we just got to get this guy the ball and give him, you know, really number one receiver targets, he will be a top five receiver.
We do have a couple more texts rolling in right now on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Derek at 5192, is Todd Gurley worth a keep in a dynasty league?
I mean, it, you know, obviously it depends what your other choices are and what it costs you, but, you know, just sort of from a blanket standpoint, yes. You know, I mean, he's still a very talented young running back, and, you know, mercifully the Fisher era is over, and maybe they'll open things up a little.
Ryan from Walford wants to know what the ceiling is for Kevin White. If healthy, is he going to be the number one option?
Okay, so the ceiling is off the charts. The problem is the chances of it happening are slim. So this is one of those things where if you had like a bell curve, it'd be very fat in the middle and very thin at the end, but the end is very high up. You know, Kevin White is basically Julio Jones physically. The question is, can he play football? And the answer is we don't know. And he's been lost so much confidence that the Bears coaches apparently have been showing him, you know, tape of him dominating college to get his confidence up. He could be the number one. The Bears certainly don't want to have squandered the number seven overall pick just 2 years ago. They're going to want him to be. And can he do it? I don't know. You know, he's been hurt for 2 years. Cam Meredith would be the other guy, probably the number one if Kevin White can't hack it.
And who's going to throw the ball to Kevin White? That's going to be one of the bigger.
Mike Glennon. And, you know, Glennon was okay with the Bucs, but certainly a below-average NFL quarterback.
319-366-1600. Time to give us a call, or you can reach us via the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And that is also 319-366-1600. Selfishly, I want to ask you about Tyreek Hill. How high has it been going so far in your experiences with some drafts so far this year? Where should he go?
So he goes usually between like the 20th and 25th receiver in my experience, maybe creeps up a little higher. I am fading him. I looked at his numbers from last year. He averaged 9 yards a catch, okay, 7 yards a target. And you think, this guy is one of the fastest players in the league. How is he averaging 9 yards a catch? His profile is more Tavon Austin. Remember Dante Hall? They made him into a receiver briefly. I know you remember him from the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Hester was a receiver briefly. You know, what you're hoping for is Antonio Brown, because this guy's 5'10", 185. He's actually faster than Antonio Brown. And so he's just, you know, he's not tiny. He's not, you know, one of these J.J. Nelson types that weighs 150. I mean, he's at least, you know, minimum NFL-size receiver. But can he run, you know, deep outs? Can he run the whole route tree? You know, is he a real receiver? The Chiefs think maybe because they let Macklin go. But I'm not convinced that anything he did last year tells us that. So I'm letting someone else pay for him. Plus, Alex Smith's arm is so weak. I don't know if he's going to get the ball down the field. But you'd like to see him be, you know, run the full rap tree, and I'm not sure that's going to happen.
9450 on the text line, Chris. What rookie, if any, should I draft highest in my draft?
You know, probably in a non-PPR, you got to draft Fournette first. I mean, he's going to get the early down work. He's a monster prospect out of college, an unquestioned starter in Jacksonville. And then if it's a PPR, I think there's serious consideration to Christian McCaffrey, who I imagine is going to catch a minimum 55, 60 passes there. And Jonathan Stewart's probably on his last legs, and you know, maybe McCaffrey gets 125, 150 carries too.
McCaffrey, by the way, if you've not seen social media today, he put a move on Luke Kuechly. That was brutal.
Yeah. and you know, that's not some scrub linebacker. That's the best linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think McCaffrey's
and the best
okay.
coverage linebacker in the NFL, by the way.
Very much so.
0190, is Martavius Bryant going to be back this year?
If he doesn't smoke some weed with Le'Veon Bell in the next couple of weeks, I think so. He conditionally reinstated, and I assume that means as long as he doesn't, you know, do something against the rules. I think he will. You know, the only thing you worry about is, you know, if he broke the rules twice, it's obviously that, you know, when you do it the second time, you wonder, he doesn't care that much, you know, because you could see getting caught once, but getting caught twice, you know, you're like, maybe I don't care that much. But, you know, he's worked pretty hard, obviously, to get back, and I would assume he's probably back for good for the year.
Yeah. Crazy trade deadline in the world of Major League Baseball, wasn't it? Sonny Gray going to the Yankees, and Quintana going to the Cubs, and Yu Darvish going to the out to you at the LA Dodgers there, and it was crazy.
Yeah, a lot of last-minute stuff. I was really happy because I have Zach Britton in the league, and the Orioles are too dumb to trade him, and I was glad because they'd lose another closer. I lost, you know, Brandon Maurer already to the Royals. Which one? Neither of you guys are. You're a White Sox fan, right, Scott?
Yes, I am. Looking forward to 2020.
They're doing a good job rebuilding. Got to give them that. They got a lot of big-time prospects, and no one's a Royals fan there because the Royals are making a little surge. And sorry, Mark. I know you're a Twins fan, right?
Yes, indeed.
But the White Sox really, I mean, they really were winners. I mean, the amount of prospects that they got, they maxed out everything. You know, from Moncada for sale to Jimenez for Quintana. I mean, those are huge prospects. And they're really poised to, I mean, the GM for the White Sox deserves, you know, a GM of the year for a terrible team because he really made some great trades. You know, the Dodgers are just an embarrassment of riches. I mean, if Kershaw comes back and it looks like he's playing catch already and he's going to take a few weeks off. You know, with Wood, Kershaw, Hill, and Darvish, that's just gross. And Darvish on the road, his numbers are much better than at home. He's got like a 2.55 ERA on the road. He just can speed up in Texas.
Yeah. Chris, a lot of big things coming up in the world of fantasy sports, especially as far as football cranking up and anything. And people want to check out rotowire.com. How can they do so?
Yeah, go to rotowire.com/trial. It is totally free for 10 days. You do not need a credit card. Again, rotowire.com/trial. You get everything we have, all the latest breaking news, and customizable rankings just for your leagues. If your league has three receivers or two receivers or flex or whatever, it customizes the scoring and settings just for your league and gets you a cheat sheet that works for your particular setup.
Yep, and as our texter said earlier, you helped him win last year, so that's the name of the game.
Happy to hear that.
Hey, Chris, thanks. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right, and Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. The Gym is partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Submit your information prior to the event. And if selected, your event will be featured online. Go to kgymradio.com for more information and click on Community MVP to get things started. We will take a quick break, come back to wrap it up after this.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA LLC has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Dave Austed here from Austed's Golf. We're dedicated to helping you play your best and look your best. Our certified club fitters will get you into the clubs to fit your game. And we also fit you into great-looking apparel from brands like Puma, Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. And the best part is it's all on sale, up to 50% off. Austed's huge apparel sale going on now online at austeds.com and at your local Austed store. Save up to 50%. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Eastern Iowa Sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
About a minute remaining here on the Gym Class. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next up through 7 o'clock tonight right here on KGYM. Football tomorrow night, Cowboys and the Cardinals, the Hall of Fame game beginning at 7 o'clock, Mark.
Zach Johnson back on the course tomorrow at the World Golf Championships at Firestone in Akron. He will go off at 9 o'clock. Is that Eastern Central
Eastern Time? Eastern Time in
okay,
Ohio.
Okay, 8 o'clock Central Time with Adam Hadwin and young Matthew Fitzpatrick. Interesting group.
Canadian and Englishman. And they moved up to tee times because they're anticipating bad weather tomorrow in Ohio. So Hopefully they'll get that in, and Zach will have a good round.
8 o'clock Central Time. Yep.
Over at Firestone South. All right, hope you enjoyed it. Back tomorrow at 3 with Cal Eldred and John Cranton on the Thursday edition of the program. Have a great night, everybody.
Why have over 3 million guys switched to Harry's razors? Because at Harry's, we give you less. We make just one razor with 5 German-engineered blades.
Ding!
all you need for a smooth and comfortable